Hello, everyone, and welcome to Super Metal World. This is Michael.
And this is Ty.
This week, we're going to talk about some PlayStation 2 games that were very important to us, and maybe some of the games you heard of, maybe some of the games you haven't heard of, but I know we like to, you know, throw in some, you know, gaming-related sort of episodes so that we can, I don't know, talk about the things that we love to talk about.
Right, and we still are going on the theory that, or the correlation, that most metal fans also play video games.
Yes.
So, I think there is a strong correlation there. Not saying it's, whatever, there's a correlation. I'm not going to get into it any deeper. I was going to try to get scientific, but I was like, nah, doesn't matter. there's a correlation. So, yeah, we're going to talk about our favorite or... maybe not even our favorites, but games that really meant something to us when we were growing up. And, you know, when the PlayStation 2 came out, we were at, like, peak childhood.
Yeah.
We were probably, like, between, I mean, PlayStation 2's life cycle, I don't know if it was, like, maybe from 5th to 7th grade, or maybe not even its life cycle. I know it was longer than that. But, like, the peak time of me playing it was probably like 5th till 7th grade or something like that. Mm-hmm. Very close.
Yeah. I know it was, I must have been 10 when I first started playing it.
Yeah, and I think like, because the next thing I got after a PS2 was an Xbox 360. And I think I got the Xbox when I was in 7th or 8th grade. And that is kind of the console I think of. The Xbox 360, which I'm sure we'll talk about somewhere down the line. That was an important console to me for like junior high and high school. Like that mm-hmm. was the console. And the PS2 was kind of the console that I think of kind of like the latter years of my elementary and going into junior high, so like early junior high. So when you're still young and naive and innocent for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Still trying to figure out like games and how they even worked.
Yeah. So this is just going to be a conversation about video games, and maybe it'll spark you guys to want to fire up your old PS2. I really wish I hadn't sold my PS2. I sold my PS2. That was a dumb move.
Yeah.
Should have kept it.
I know my mom called me when they were moving, and my parents were moving, and she was like, I have this PlayStation 2 and all these games. Like, do you want them at all? I'm like, no, why would I want that? And now, you know, after doing all this research, I'm a little bummed about it. I'm sure you could find like an emulator somewhere that would run the games decently, right?
Right. I would guess so. I sold mine. I really pissed my parents off when I did this. I sold my PS2 because I viewed it as mine. But they got it for me as like probably a Christmas or birthday gift or something, you know. And I sold it when I was probably 14 or 15 years old because I was like so caught up in the Xbox 360 that I was like, I don't need that punk of junk, you know. So I remember I sold it and my parents came home and I don't know what transpired. But at one point they're like, so where's the PS2 at? I was like, oh, I sold that. You're like, they're like, you what? You didn't tell us that you're gonna sell it, but yeah, I sold it and made a quick buck off of it.
Gotta make those snap decisions sometimes.
Oh, they would still remember that if I brought it up to my parents. They'd be like, remember the time you sold our PS2? Remember that? Which is so bizarre. That's the only console that they've ever like cared about.
Mm.
Which is fair. I mean, it's well, we'll get into it anyway, guys. We'll talk more about this after the intro. Remember that you can find us www.supermetalworld.com. Easiest place to find, well, debatable, because Spotify and iTunes are pretty easy too. Easiest place to find all of our content for sure. But also, we're available for streaming on iTunes and Spotify and all of that stuff. Please rate and review 5 horns high. Write something nice. Share it with a friend. Interact with us. We're on all social media, Super Metal World. Give us a like, give us a follow, say what's up there. And yeah, we're just a couple nerds that talk about metal, We talk about video games. We also talk about rock and roll and movies and just the whole, think to yourself, how many podcasts cover that? Maybe there is a lot, because I haven't like researched every single podcast in the history of the world, but there's not as good as ours. Okay. So we cover a lot of things, and the main, like, our heart lies with heavy metal. That's like the heart of the podcast, of course, but we like to go off and talk about things like this. And I don't think a lot of other metal podcasts do that. I can confidently say that, especially the ones that I know that are super popular. And we're definitely not that kind of podcast that's like, yo, dude, check out some Punch. Check out Punch's new album.
The Punch.
Have you heard Hell Yeah? Pretty good stuff. That guy used to be in Vane. Mudvayne, that is.
The Vane.
The Vane. So it's not like, this isn't like a dude bro metal show. And there's definitely nothing elitist about this show either. We like so many, such a variety of things. And we don't have this list of rules like, if you contain this and this and this, you are not allowed to be on our show. Nah, fuck that. If you rock, come on our show. Continue to send us music. Actually, since we did the Void Vader episode, which is our last episode, guys, we listened to this band, Void Vader. They're an independent metal band. Well, hard rock metal, kind of toe the line. We listened to it from start to finish, and between each track, we kind of gave our review of each song, and we released it as a full episode. And that's something we are totally wanting to do more. We loved how that went.
It was a ton of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Good response. Glad to kind of blast it out there. So if you're confident with a piece of your work, whether it's a single song or a full album, send it to us, and we will respond in time. It's not going to be timely. I wish I could tell you it would be a timely response, but it's not going to be. But be patient. We will get to it. And if your shit is good enough, we will definitely feature it. And we don't... There's no hard and fast rules. We're not like, you can be a single, I mean, what would you call that? Somebody who just does all the music themselves.
I don't know. Just like a solo act, I guess.
Yeah. You don't have to be a full band. We just, whatever creative work, you know, that falls within obviously hard rock and metal, send it our way. And, we'll gladly give it a listen. And if it tickles our fancy, we'll put it on the show and give you some exposure and spread it around. I will say that, I mean, more recent material is going to get precedent over older material, but we have featured older material before if it was strong enough. So anyway, whatever. I'm rambling. I want to talk about some PS2 games, but wanted you guys to know that too. So horns high.
Horns high.
So I want to repeat that when Michael and I started playing video games, well, not when we started playing video games, when we started playing the PS2, this was, like I said, the late, like, peak childhood, I feel. Because, like, you're old enough to kind of understand the world a little bit. I mean, you still don't know shit. You're a little kid and you don't have to worry about adult things. But that's part of the allure, right? I mean, you're kind of old enough to, like, understand certain things.
Right. Like, this is where nostalgia begins.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Old enough to, like, remember things.
Yeah,
that's what
definitely.
I'm trying to spit out. Because, like, I don't really remember. Maybe I remember some things from, like, third grade, but
it's only
earlier
like
than
flashes.
That.
Flashes. It's like flashes and, like, you remember particular moments, but I don't remember, like, a fundamental experience or, like, a system of experiences until... Mm-hmm. You know, late elementary, like, I remember lots of things.
Exactly. Like, you may remember, like, hey, remember when Donnie shit his pants in class in second grade? Like, you'll remember, like, a big moment like that. But, like...
Never forget.
You can't remember a string of moments. That's definitely harder. I will say, like, one of my earliest memories is... I do remember third grade a little bit, because that's when I moved to the hometown that you also grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's third grade is kind of where it starts for me. But anyway, you and I became closer in like fifth grade. So yeah. this also ties into our friendship, the PS2. So it's all complete circle. And I was doing some digging, and I was wondering, you know, where does the PS2 rank in like video game console sales? And do you know, before I give you the answer, were you aware of where it sits?
I want to say that it's really high. I don't know if it is, like, is it number one?
It is.
By how much? It's number one.
By the skin of its teeth, let's put it that way.
Okay.
So the PS2 has sold 155 million units.
Sweet Jesus.
That's so many. I wonder what the perfect storm was. Why the PS2 was a solid console.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So good. But I wonder, like, what else added up to make it, to make everybody want to grab one? Was it, like, the titles? Were their titles just better? Maybe Xbox wasn't enough of a competitor yet?
Yeah, that would be totally reasonable. Like, the Xbox, just the first Xbox had come out, and everyone's like, oh, it's Microsoft, and the controller is huge. What are you even doing? And then Nintendo's over here like, we've got the GameCube. We've
right.
got tiny and, little discs. Mm-hmm. And then the Dreamcast yep. was, you know, like just probably 4 years too early. So everyone was playing Nintendo 64s. Then the Dreamcast came out, and it wasn't enough mm-hmm. of an attraction to, like, purchase that. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it was, like, more or less the only thing that it was... the only console out there at the time that was, like, trustworthy.
I think it was, clearly the best option. Because GameCube was, like... I know people have fond memories of GameCube, but it wasn't Nintendo's best work. You know, as far as, like, maybe marketing or the tiny discs, it just wasn't as strong of a competitor, I think, when PS2 came out. And, you know, there was the Xbox. But like you said, that hadn't really came into its own yet. And lest we not forget that PlayStation was the original PlayStation was immensely successful itself.
Yeah.
So it already built up this reputation. So I think, yeah, that was probably the perfect storm. And I just want to mention, remember our buddy Taylor, who we won't say his last name? He had an Xbox.
Yep.
That was so weird. I remember finding that so weird.
Like trying to hold that controller.
It was so massive. Yeah, it was. But like, I think that's because his brother was, and still is, as far as I know, kind of a gamer. And he was trying to be edgy and be like, I'm going to get the Xbox. Because yeah, I don't feel like Taylor would have made that decision.
Probably you know? Not. Yeah, you I know? Don't think so. I don't think so.
Another memory while we're talking about Taylor real briefly. Do you remember going to his house and playing that game where the deer kill the people?
Oh yeah,
because he played that all the time.
God, that's gonna bother me now that you mentioned. I have no idea what it's called. Something revenge.
It was like it's not Deer Hunter, but maybe it's called Deer Hunter. But it's like this game. I'm sure some of you know what I'm talking about. Where the tables have turned and the deer does the hunting.
The deers have the guns now.
It's a very
it's really stupid.
Kind of a liberal angle. Or like a
anti-hunting.
Anti-hunting, but also but it's hunting. So,
yeah, right.
Interesting audience. Anyway, do you venture to guess or have any idea what would be second place, like literally right behind the PS2?
My initial gut was Xbox 360, but I know the Wii sold like crazy, so I'm going to go with the Wii.
The right brand, it's a Nintendo DS. They're counting handhelds.
Oh, get that shit out of here.
154 million
oh my
Nintendo
God.
DSs. Okay. That's pretty crazy.
What about like TV console? Do you have the numbers on that? Like what's the next like controller on a TV?
Oh yeah. What do you think it's the Wii?
Yeah.
Cuz it's not.
Oh shit. Is it the 360?
It's the PlayStation.
Oh, are you serious?
The PlayStation sold 102.49 million.
Wow. I guess it's, again, probably... Well, no, the Nintendo 64 was out at that time. Huh.
Yeah, but it was a successful disc. You know, like, it was the first to actually implement a disc drive correctly.
That's true. That's true, and, yeah, because the 64 had the big cartridges.
And let's not forget that it not only did it like come out at the right time, but it had awesome content only for the PlayStation, like Crash Bandicoot and Spyro. Some all-timer platformers.
Really great exclusives on... PlayStation's always had really great exclusives.
Yeah, and that's always been obviously a reason they sell so well. So after the Nintendo DS sold 154 million, then you have another handheld, the Game Boy Color, 118.69 million. Then you get the PlayStation, and then the Wii, 101.63 million. So I didn't realize Sony dominated so much.
I did not either.
And you know what number six is? I just had to include this. Just take a guess and go by, you know, how this list has been going. What do you think number six is?
I mean,
it's one of the two brands that we've already talked about.
God. Okay. I feel like PlayStation 3 isn't the right answer. I'm thinking it's going to be a Nintendo product. And I'm going to go.
You own it.
Oh, is it the Switch?
No, it's another thing you own.
Nintendo 3DS?
Nope. Think about the other brand.
Oh, PS4.
Yeah, PS4. Oh, 96.8. The PS Jesus PlayStation Christ. Sells like fucking crazy.
Are you saying that the PlayStation 4 has sold more than the Xbox 360 did?
Yes, by a considerable margin.
That's like wild.
I think the PlayStation 4 is somewhere, the Xbox 360 is somewhere in like 86 million, 87, maybe 88, you know? But shit, PlayStation 4 has sold like 10 or 12 million more than that.
That's insane.
And like the PS3 didn't sell as well. And that's because I think Xbox 360 was the superior console.
Mm-hmm.
But the PS4, you've owned the Xbox One. You know the PS4 is better.
Yeah. For sure.
It just is. That Xbox One was poorly marketed, and I don't know.
I can't say anything about like the new. I know that like both mm-hmm,
right.
have like released like new editions, right? Like the Xbox One X or something like that, and like the PS4 Pro. I have no idea how those compare, but yeah, I definitely enjoyed my PS4 over my Xbox One, that's for sure.
Well, do you even still have the Xbox One?
My brother has it.
Okay. Well, another thing I was going to mention is that I think the PlayStation 4 just beat it at the release. And that's where you get all your sales right away anyway, like a bulk of your sales. So, yeah, you're right. They may be more even now, but certainly the PlayStation 4 just did better at the marketing and the initial release. So,
I think there was
I have a PlayStation 4 too, and I love it. So.
I think there was some shitty stuff that went down for like PR reasons for the Microsoft when the Xbox One was about to be launched.
Yeah. So anyhow, I love PlayStation. I've owned the original PlayStation. I remember when I first got the PlayStation, I got it for Christmas, and I got like probably Crash Bandicoot was the game I got first. And I remember my uncle called me and he's like, "What'd you get for Christmas?" You know, just, I was a little kid at that point. I was probably, I don't know, 8, whenever I was young. And I remember him asking me, or I remember saying to him, "I got a PlayStation." And he's like, "Oh, did you get Cars to come with it?" He thought it was like a play, you know, like a little station that you played with.
Nah, bitch.
I was like, come on, amateur. You know, but like, I was a little kid. So he's like, yeah, I was probably like 7 or 8. So, or 6, I would say between 6 and 8. I can't get this right. But anyway. It's like, "Oh, I got a PlayStation." You know, I'm sure he's like, I couldn't quite formulate sentences as well. So anyway, loved that console. Of course, I already mentioned it. I had like Crash Bandicoot and Spyro. And that's pretty much all I remember. Although I played like WWF Attitude and like some SmackDown games, like wrestling games. But anyway, pretty much all I remember from that era, because like we talked about, it's just harder to remember things back then. I do remember, somewhat remember Game Boy Colors, but I don't think I ever owned one. Did you own a Game Boy Color?
No. Nope.
And because we talked about this, and I swear you had a PlayStation, but obviously you know better than I, you didn't have one. What was like the, did you have anything at this time, at that time of your life for games?
The console that I consider to be my first like video game experience was the PlayStation 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my dad had a Sega Genesis, but yeah. I never really played it. Like, I remember playing Sonic, and then I would play like the Super Nintendo at my, my dad's brother had a Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And he just like left it off at my grandparents' place when he, you know, left to go to school and whatnot. And so I remember playing those two consoles, but like my true first personal experience with a console was definitely the PlayStation 2.
Which is not a bad start.
No, not at all.
I remember that we had a Nintendo, just a regular old NES. And it was either we had, see, this is, gets so foggy. Either we had it or like, cause we used to live in this house where it was split level and my family lived on the downstairs level and my mom's like mom and dad. So my grandparents lived on the upper level. And I think it was actually my uncle's or my aunt's Nintendo Entertainment System that I played.
Mm.
So I remember playing that. And then I remember playing a Sega. I may have actually owned a Sega, or it may have been my uncle's. Again, I don't remember. But I think the PlayStation is obviously what I would consider my first that I actually owned, because I'm pretty sure I just like sponged off those other ones I mentioned.
Yeah, sure.
I do remember gaming's always been a big part of my life, though, because I remember like my uncle or aunt had the Sega, and I did like playing the Sega. I remember playing Sonic and watching my uncle plays Sonic, but I remember one of my friends had a Super Nintendo, and I wished I had a Super Nintendo because it had so many great games. I remember playing them all the time. Like, I would go over to his house, and that's all we would do.
Oh, yeah, dude. The Super Nintendo has got some amazing shit.
And if we're going to talk about earlier gaming still, I also remember playing a lot of RuneScape when I was younger. So... That could be its whole.
Yeah.
Whole
Don't even get me started on RuneScape right now.
Yeah, like we could talk about that later. We'll, I'm sure, guys, that we'll do another episode dedicated to RuneScape because that was some shit right there. Anyhow, let's actually get into what we're going to talk about, and that is we each came up with three games that were special to us, and we're each going to talk about them. It's not going to be boring. Not going to tell you like this was released. Well, we'll tell you when it was released, but not like detail by detail, just kind of like a trip down memory lane. So, Michael, let's start with you. What's one of the games you want to talk about right away?
So I want to start off with Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why like I wanted to go with this game was for many reasons. One, it's a great freaking game. It was released on October 30th, 2001. Neversoft was the developer, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Neversoft doesn't exist anymore. They were the company with like the eyeball as the O. I thought it was pretty cool.
I do not think they exist anymore.
And it was a supremely excellent game. GameSpot gave it a 10 score, a 10 out of 10, which is
awesome.
One out of, I think they've only ever given 15 games that score.
Wow.
This was definitely the first skating game I played. It has a pretty excellent soundtrack, including Ace of Spades by Motorhead and 96 Quite Bitter Beings by CKY.
Mm-hmm.
You got some Blitzkrieg Bop in there along with some Exhibits Paparazzi. So pretty sweet soundtrack. So this was definitely the first like skating game that I played. Not really a genre that I really got into after that. I think I played like Tony Hawk American Wasteland, and that's mm-hmm. pretty much it. But let me tell you, I played the shit out of those two games, and
mm-hmm.
I just have like immensely fond memories of like, I was looking back at like the pictures of all of the little worlds, the maps you could play in. You just skate around and stuff. And man, it took me back, like looking at all mm-hmm. of the images of, there's like this level called Canada where you can, it's out on, you skate around. It's kind of like in a snowboard park, skate park area.
Yeah.
And you can like skate on some of the tree branches and go through like snow tunnels and stuff, and so much of it I saw and instantly like got taken back to those like childhood moments. So it's a lot of special memories for me with Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3. Also, this was the first experience that I had with online gaming, because I had
right.
like the original PlayStation, or the original PlayStation 2, like the original model for it, was just this huge tank, this big box. And on the mm-hmm. back of it, you could get this extension, which allowed you to connect Ethernet to it.
Okay? I remember you having that, because I didn't have it. I remember you having that.
I plugged that shit in, and we were connected to the world. This was back when you didn't have to pay to play online console games.
Yep.
And that was a ton of fun, just like skating around with all these like strangers. I was like, that an amazing experience. And I would say the very last thing that I want to mention about Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 is, like, I'm fairly, like, good at handling, like, money and budgeting and stuff. My dad's, like, an accountant. And so he's always like, oh, you know, like, make sure you really need something before you buy it. And now it's kind of, like, ingrained into my subconscious. And
yeah.
This was, like, the first... I bought this game. Like, I saved up all my money, and I was going to buy it. And this was, I think games were like $50 at this point, like brand new game, $50.
Yeah, something like that.
That's all right.
I think so, because I think it scaled up because the PlayStation, new PlayStation, like the PlayStation original was maybe like $40 for a new game. And I think it did scale up to like 50.
Okay. So
for the PS2.
I had saved up $50. And at this time, $50 is like all the money in the world, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're like 10.
And I didn't buy it. We were at, we're from a small town, so it's like minimum 30 to 40 minutes to like go to a store to buy a video game.
Yes.
And I was talking to him. I was like, hey, I want to buy this game. Can I buy this game? I have my own money. And he's like, well, are you sure you want it? I was like, yeah, I'm really sure I want it. Like, I want to buy this game. He's like, well, let's just wait. I was pissed at this point. Like, let's just wait and see how you feel about it. And then we'll go, because it's a lot of money. And mm-hmm. I waited and kind of slept on it, I guess. And then eventually we went back to the town, and I was prepared to make the purchase and spend all my hard-earned money on Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3. And to this day, like, I'm sure it was nothing to him, right? Like, oh, are you sure you mm-hmm. want to get it? But like, to this day, right. It's like kind of a core aspect of my being as like a
yeah. It's funny how those little moments, yeah, shape you. Do you remember if this was the first game you got, or did you have a lot of other games before you got Tony Hawk?
This wasn't the first one. This was I'm pretty sure the first game that I bought at full price with my own money.
Yeah, and did you get the PlayStation 2 as like a gift, like birthday or Christmas, or do you remember that?
My dad bought it because he wanted it.
And then you just got to use it.
Yeah, basically.
Which, I mean, is pretty much how it worked back then.
I will say my dad played the shit out of Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2001.
Oh my gosh, my dad played the shit out of that game too.
So he got his fair share of PlayStation 2 usage.
Couple things about this is I have some pretty vague memories of watching you play this and maybe playing it at your house, because I remember you had these cheat codes that you could grind forever. You remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah, yeah.
Stupid ass cheat code where you could just like, because before, like, otherwise you had to kind of like balance it out, right? Like there was right. like an arrow.
There was like a meter that would go back and forth, yeah. and you had to like counteract where the meter was going. Yeah.
Yeah, and like the better you were, the easier it was to navigate that, right? Like the better the skater.
Yep.
So yeah, I remember that, like there was cheat code back when there was more cheat codes than there is today that you would put in and you could essentially grind forever. And then you could get all the characters because I'm seeing your list here, but like there was unlockable characters that I remember. The ones I specifically remember, like somewhere in the back of my mind, like watching or playing with you. I don't remember if I was involved or if I was just watching. I probably played, but I don't remember if this was two player.
No, it was just one player.
I think it was two, so it would have been like the trade-off. So I remember Darth Maul, because that's awesome.
Yep.
and I remember the eyeball.
Yep, like the Neversoft branded eyeball thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do remember Wolverine as well. I remember those three looking at this. I don't remember some of these. Obviously, I know who Tony Hawk is and Bam Margera. I just don't remember some of these other names.
No, like, but, I'm not a skater, and I'm not into like the skating world. So like looking at these names, like almost none of them mean anything to me.
These were unlockable characters. Or no, some of them are unlockable. Some of them you just got right away. Obviously.
Yeah, they're just like pros that are part of the game.
Yeah, and of course we know Bam Margera, good professional skater, I guess, but also had, you know, Viva La Bam, the TV show. But it's interesting that this was at a point in culture when skating games actually sold really well. You know,
they haven't been a thing for a long time.
I think that just goes to show how great Tony Hawk was and how like awesome of a human being he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for
and
sure.
Another thing, when I think Tony Hawk, his Twitter is really funny.
Is it?
Because he'll always talk about when people notice him because he kind of has a general face, but he also obviously looks like Tony Hawk because he is Tony Hawk. And people will say to him like he'll tell these funny stories like, I got onto an airplane and the stewardess was like, hey, you look a lot like Tony Hawk. And he'll just play it off like, yeah, I know, right? I get that a lot. And like sometimes a lot of the times he won't acknowledge it. It's mostly like stories about him, people telling him he looks like Tony Hawk or somebody they know, and him not like giving in, like him kind of messing with them.
That's amazing.
Another thing I think of when I think of Tony Hawk is I think of Rocket Power. And I think of that episode where they go to the Hawk's Nest.
Oh, God. Yes.
And they meet Tony Hawk. That's like one of the greatest crossover episodes of all time. So what was that Hawaiian guy? Tito? Tino? Tito?
Tito. Tito sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uncle Tito.
Uncle Tito. Fucking Uncle Tito's awesome. And their dad was just like a surfer bum just dude, but he's really,
stoner,
really cool.
Stoner guy. I think they had like a restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. His dad, their dad had the bucket hat, and the tourists they always call shoobies because they wore shoes to the beach. So, anyway, great show.
Great
also
show.
Also about like extreme sports, like skating, and the luge episode where Twister goes down on that steep hill and he races his brother, his jackass brother,
Lars.
Yeah, Lars and that street luge thing.
It's a classic show,
anyway,
man.
Oh,
love
gosh.
It. Love it.
Yes. So good. Anyway, yeah. So just there you go. Just talking about Tony Hawk makes me think of a bunch of things. And Underground. Underground games were great. Well, I got American Wasteland, which what do you think that was for the 360? Or was that still PS2?
That's got to be 360.
I would think so, too. That was a great game.
Yeah.
Probably the last great Tony Hawk game would be my guess. So anyhow, unless there's probably was there a sequel? Anyway, doesn't matter.
I don't
matter.
Think so. I think it was like the last really good Tony Hawk game for sure. American Wasteland.
And more open world. And also I must say, this was before the time, and I don't think like maybe today's gamers don't understand this. Like I'm talking like 10 year olds to like maybe even 18 year olds. This was before like open world stuff. Like,
yeah, so you jumped into a level, you picked a level, and you had like 3 minutes to score as many points as you could.
Yeah, and like, I think always as a gamer, I know I always was like wishing that, it's like, man, I wish we could like go out there, you know, and by out there, I meant like to these other parts of the level. And there was always like an end to the level. You could always find that clear definition of like, you can't go beyond this point.
Mm-hmm. Like an invisible wall.
Yeah, so that was like obviously still evident in this game and pretty much all the games most of the games we're going to talk about. But that was the cool thing about Wasteland and some of the Underground games is it added like an RPG element to these skating games, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so the first one I wanted to talk about is such a great game. It's Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
Ooh.
And this was just a really fun one to play. It was released, just so you guys have an idea how old I was, October 28th, 2003 is when it was released. I was 12 years old at this time. And Ubisoft is the, what would they be, the developer or the?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Ubisoft develops and publishes.
Yeah. So they're known for Assassin's Creed, and if you play this game, you would understand the connection.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you know what? I never thought about that.
They had to have taken a lot of ideas from this Prince of Persia game, because this game was like action adventure platformer kind of, but like there was puzzles to it, and there's hack and slash elements, which you could also say is part of Assassin's Creed for the most part, although Assassin's Creed games now are like these huge massive open world games. Prince of Persia wasn't open world really. It definitely had its like set levels. And long story short, you're the Prince of Persia. Mm-hmm. And you're the story, I'll just give you a little taste of it. You're the prince, and you're passing through India to visit the Sultan, and you end up the vizier, which is of the local Maharaja, which that would be like the, how do you explain a vizier? It's like the guy with the beard and the it kind of looks like Jafar, the vizier.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a wise, like maybe a magical kind of person.
I have no idea. I have no idea what a vizier is.
And the Maharaja would be like, I'll just explain this in Aladdin terms. To me, the vizier is Jafar, and the Maharaja is like that Jasmine's dad.
Okay, sure. So, like the king? Know, this, like kind of like a
yeah,
king?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, so they are wanting to prevent the death of someone. I can't remember if it's the Maharaja or somebody. They want to prevent the death using a substance known as the Sands of Time. And basically, long story short, you get your hands on the Sands of Time, and you get this dagger that the vizier ends up being a bad guy. And you get the dagger, and the dagger allows you to like rewind time, which is pretty awesome. It's mm-hmm. like if you fuck up, because this game is really about, like, it'll show you the level, and the level is a series of, like, I don't know, you're trying to get into, like, this building, and you have to find a way to get into the building, so there's, like, you got to climb up on this and jump over here and, like, swing on this to get to there. So there's, like, a puzzle piece to, like, how do you get up to this point that you need to get to the next part of the game. But also there's like bad guys that you can face, and they are kind of warped versions of humans that the vizier goes crazy basically, and he ends up being a bad guy and turns everybody into these fucking weird zombie things that are made out of sand. I don't know how to explain. Yeah,
they're like sand
that.
Skeletons. They're monsters, whatever.
Yeah. And you have this dagger that holds the Sands of Time, at least maybe a little bit, the Dagger of Time. I don't know what it's called. But anyway, you can, and you get other weapons too. You get like scimitars. I don't even know how to pronounce that word.
Scimitar.
I always get confused because we have a buddy that calls them schmictars. What does he call them?
Schmictars.
Why does he do that?
I don't know. I wish I knew.
Why do you do that, Andy? Why do you do that, Andy? Also, this is proof if you listen to us or not. Anyway. So you can fight these, sand monsters, and if you defeat them, their sand essence essentially goes into your dagger, and your dagger is the thing, like I said, that can rewind time. So if you fuck up, if a bad guy, comes at you and defeats you, you can actually rewind it. If you try to make a long jump and miss it, well, you can rewind that too. So it's kind of cool in that way, and you can rewind it. You have to like fill up the dagger with this sand, and you can rewind it. Like the more sand you get in the dagger, the more you can rewind time back.
Right. And then when you use it, it's gone.
Yes. And then you have to attack more enemies or like find more magical sand to refill it.
Yeah. That's cool. I remember all this now. That was a ton of fun.
So you climb things. Like if you played Assassin's Creed game, you climb things just like you would, pretty much just like you would in Assassin's Creed. Similar mechanics and similar idea of like climbing to these vantage points in like kind of a puzzle piece kind of way. And you fight enemies very similar too. I don't think there's like the counter moves, not at least in the first game. I don't think you can counter, but you can jump over them. You know how like in like even in like Arkham asylum. You know how Batman can like jump over the guy,
yep,
and get on the other side of him? And just like in the Assassin's Creed game, you can do that in this game where you jump over them and kind of discombobulate them, and then you can attack them from the other side. You can block. I just can't remember if you can counter.
I want to say an important aspect of the combat here. I don't think it was so much countering. I think it was like, you know, you get certain combos, right? You do like XX circle triangle does like this badass move, right? And I think that's kind of at the core of like the combat. It's like a combo based sort of like button combo based sword game.
So the storyline's very strong. I'm not going to take you through the whole story, but it's a great story, actually. And that was like kind of uncommon during this time. You just didn't have as many games as art kind of thing, or games as telling a real story that you can invest yourself in. Like, this is kind of when it started, but before that, games were just kind of games, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that even goes to the non-open world aspect. That just made it seem more like a game. Whereas nowadays, I mean, games are still games, but they're like so advanced now. You know, play Red Dead Redemption.
There's so much put into the immersion, the experience of immersion in games today. You know, something that I remembered about this game was, I want to say that, like, because it was old, or, you know, like, this was a long enough time ago where I wasn't very old, so I was dumb. I could definitely read. I was old enough to read. But,
yeah,
like, there was parts that I just couldn't figure out. And I remember going into, like, the store and looking at, like, the walkthrough books.
Yeah, that and not gave buying you,
like,
the book.
Just, like, a big book. I never bought the books, but what I would do is I got to the part, I, like, just found the part in the book that I knew that I needed help with. And I just opened it up, read through that section. I was like, oh, good to go. Don't need to buy the book.
Yeah, that's all I needed. Well, I mean, that's one thing the internet's been great for, like helping gamers out. Because I even have that with this new Zelda game, Breath of the Wild, where I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to be doing. You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck it. I'm going to Google it. I can't figure this shit out. Anyway. But you couldn't do that back then. You had to, and I've done what you said before too. And I know we both own this game. I remember like talking about it with you and maybe watching each other play it. But like, anyway, it was a great game, and it's the best out of like any of the Prince of Persia games, because they made some after this, and they even tried to remake this game in 2008. They did not even a remastered version. It was like a new take. Like the prince looks completely different. I think the story is a little different. And people like that game a lot, too. But this is the OG. Like, this game was pretty awesome. With a story that was great, but I probably didn't even understand its significance when I was playing it, because it's too young and dumb.
Yeah, probably not.
I was just like, oh, sand monsters. Let's kill sand monsters.
Climb up the ladder. Do the jump. Pull the lever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, anyway, that's all I got on Prince of Persia.
Nice. Okay, so, number two. I gotta go with Ratchet and Clank. Now, this was an early experience for shooters for me. Ratchet and Clank is like a platformer, 3D, third-person shooter type of game made by Insomniac Studios, the same development company responsible for all of the old-school Spyro the Dragon games, along with the brand-new PS4 Spider-Man game, which is super great. Like, that's the new Spider-Man's amazing. And it was released on November 4th, 2002. And basically, Ratchet is like an alien mechanic. He kind of looks like this cat, like feline-looking critter, I guess. And Clank is a small robot coming from a giant, like, megacorp assembly line who is never, like, made large. Like, all of his brothers are huge, but he's just this little guy. And basically,
he's like defective or something.
Right, yeah,
like,
he's
the runt.
Yeah, exactly. And basically the whole story is there's this this bad guy named Chairman Drek, who is trying to like take over a planet, if I'm remembering correctly, and he hires Captain Quark. Captain Quark is like this very popular media figure, and he uses his power, I guess, to bait all of the people of the planet to kind of follow him. And so, yeah, that's Chairman Drek and Captain Quark are, like, the main antagonists. And Ratchet and Clank kind of get sucked into this problem as kind of the heroes via a like crazy scientist who says, "Oh, you've got to save them. I'm giving you like a badge and permission to fuck shit up, basically."
Mm-hmm.
And the key here, the key for this game for me is like there are 36 like weapons and gadgets in the game. And there's tons of different types of enemies, so like your creativity is like the only limit in terms of like doing the combat and fighting and taking out the bad guys, which I love. And there was in 2016, there was a remastered version because I guess we're in the age of remastering old games. Of course, you know, there's a remaster of Ratchet and Clank, which I have no complaints. I loved it. I thought it was amazing to kind of go along with. They released a movie in 2016, and Ratchet and Clank has actually been a fairly successful series. I know there was a primary PlayStation 2 trilogy. I think it was Ratchet and Clank, Ratchet and Clank 2 Going Commando, and then Ratchet and Clank 3 Up Your Arsenal. So some cheeky titles there. But yeah, Ratchet and Clank, like all of the platforming, there was like a grapple hook, all sorts of bad guys to fight, tons of really interesting weapons. Like you can like brainwash enemies to fight for you. I think, I'm not sure if it was in the new release or the old one, but like a disco ball, you like throw a disco ball down and, you know, like all of the bad guys start dancing so you can like distract some of them while you go fight the others. And like, of course, there's like throwing stars and just like your standard regular sort of laser guns and rocket launchers and grenade throwers, like anything that you can imagine in like this weird, wacky sci-fi future playing as an alien shooting shit kind of game, Ratchet and Clank has got it. And to this day, one of my favorite games.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's a game that I can't comment on much because that was like purely yours. I never really got into it. But I would just find it interesting that there's these games, these platformers, where there was like always two people, you know, or two critters.
Yeah, sure. Like Banjo-Kazooie sort of thing.
Yeah, and even going back, you got Sonic and Tails. And Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong, you know, like
Mario and Luigi.
I think like the best, probably the best example is Banjo-Kazooie, because like Kazooie could also do things.
Yeah. And Kazooie was always on Banjo's back. Same with, you know, Clank rides on Ratchet's back as kind of a backpack sort of thing.
And then if we're going to go with other like B-style platformers, although, you know, I know Ratchet and Clank is good and actually pretty great and well-regarded, but I know they're not like A-lister platformers.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe they were at the time, you know, but they don't have the staying power, obviously, that like if we're just talking about platformers like Banjo-Kazooie or Crash Bandicoot or whatever, Spyro. What I was going to say is that, like, it reminds me of like Jak and Daxter too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
not that the games are the same, but like same idea, a main guy and a little person that like rides on the main person's back. What was the deal with that?
I don't know. Now that you mention it, it's kind of like weird that it's like frequent. I think there was, there's another pairing that kind of tried to become the next generation of Banjo-Kazooie. I think it was like either an Xbox 360 or an Xbox One game.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of the name of it, but there's another one that's like more modern.
I know what you're talking about. It has a similar name like Banjo-Kazooie, but it's like something like that. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I can't think of it either. But I mean, even Spyro had the dragonfly.
That's true.
And Crash Bandicoot had the Unimaga mask.
Yep. Yeah, you know, all of these classic platformers always have a sidekick.
And like I think where the line is drawn is like, for, to my knowledge, and I don't know Spyro games. I loved Spyro games, actually. I'm just saying I don't know every detail. But for the most part, the dragonfly was kind of like a reminder of what your health was. And that's the same in Crash Bandicoot. Although when you kind of like went in invincible mode, like when Mario gets a star in Crash Bandicoot, when he gets like in invincible mode, he puts on the mask.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think those games are a little different. They have a partner, but they're not like a functional partner like Banjo-Kazooie and this game.
Right.
And even
right.
Jak and Daxter.
Like, not even utility. It's more of like a, I don't know.
It's like a minor, secondary character? I don't
yeah.
know.
Well, because you not could, character, you but... would, in Ratchet and Clank, there were certain sections of the game, like small ducts and vents that Ratchet was too big to get to, that Clank, you know, got off Ratchet's
exactly.
back. Would
exactly.
crawl through, and you actually like had full control, and he had his own sort of. You would run through like puzzles with all of these like little minion bots, and you would control them and make them do mm-hmm. stuff. So that was, I always enjoyed that too.
And I don't think, you know, Mario and Luigi don't function that way. They're both brothers, but you don't like interact. You don't play them together all the time, which is weird. And same with like Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong. You don't really like. I guess they walked together. But, like, it was basically when you played as Donkey Kong, and when Donkey Kong, like, died or whatever, then you played as Diddy Kong.
Yep. Or you could, like, if you were playing two-player, you, like, swap out and stuff, but, yeah.
Yeah, right, right. So, anyhow, interesting stuff. While I'm mentioning Donkey Kong, I just gotta say, fuck bees. Those fucking bees that would move around, and you'd have to jump yep. vine to vine.
Yep,
those bees.
Those levels always just destroyed me. Not even close.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing I don't miss about platformers is stupid jump timing.
Yep.
Anyway, my next game is one you guys are definitely going to know, and that is Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Ooh, that's a classic.
So this is actually still to this day. I mean, I love Grand Theft Auto 5, don't get me wrong, but this is still my favorite Grand Theft Auto game, and it's just because of the nostalgia, guys. That's all. That's all this is. I realize that Grand Theft Auto 5 has far more things to do.
It's like objectively a better game, but like, you yeah. know, Vice City is, you know, it's special.
Vice City is great for so many reasons. It was released October 29th, 2002. I'm 11 years old, way too young to be playing this game, but still playing it like most gamers will do. They'll play a game they're not supposed to play. And made by Rockstar, which we all know that Rockstar makes great games that sell so much, so many copies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get into that later with my list of the best-selling games of all time kind of deal for the PS2. Now, anyway, the reason I really love this game is I love the era. It's the 80s. I love the 80s. It's kind of got, like, this mobster vibe. Like, the guy you play as, his name is Tommy Vercetti, mm-hmm. and it's set in 1986, and he's a former, like, he's a loyal former member of the Ferrelli family, and he's released from prison after serving a 15-year sentence. His former boss, Sonny Ferrelli, promotes Tony to basically sends him to Vice City to act as the Ferrelli's buyer in a cocaine deal and to do other groundwork for the Ferrelli's. So that's like the main storyline, and Tommy looks great. He wears like, oh gosh, doesn't he wear like a button-up?
He wears like a Hawaiian button up.
Yeah, like a Hawaiian button up. And are his pants blue or white? I'm trying to remember.
I think they're white. Here. I think they're white. Yeah, you're right. I think
it's white pants.
He's looking good.
And he has like Johnny Bravo hair, kind of a little bit, not to the extreme of Johnny Bravo. Maybe has glasses. He might have glasses on all the time.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I can't remember. Let me just do it. I know you guys got to wait, but I'm just going to do a quick Google search here. He doesn't have glasses.
Okay.
But the pictures I'm seeing, he's actually wearing jeans.
Oh, well, shit. So, I had like white pants in my head.
I know. I had that in my head too. But yeah, Hawaiian shirt and jeans, basically. So anyway... Vice City is supposed to act kind of like Miami, basically. It's not supposed to act. It's basically Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And, this game was so great because it was one of the first experiences I remember of like thinking that games could be like limitless, because you could get out of a car, you could get into a car. The world was big, like very big for that time. Like, you know, this was something... these big open world RPGs that we get nowadays, this was kind of like the start of that. I mean, it wasn't the exact start, but I'm just saying, me at this time, this blew my mind. You could do whatever you wanted. There wasn't levels.
Right.
There was a plot.
At any given time, you could just like, oh, I'm going to drive to the other side of the entire world.
And that was like unheard of. That seems silly now, but that was like something you couldn't do in games before. Like games, you kind of had to follow their formula. And you could play the game bad. You could play the game good. But if you were a, 11-year-old to 12-year-old boy, this was the act of giving like yourself a magnifying glass and burning ants. Like, yep. Basically, no, you just totally. Did the rottenest shit. Because you lived in this place, you could do anything. So you get in, like, a car, fucking drive as fast as you can, crash into cop cars, crash into pedestrians. I literally remember getting a sniper rifle and sniping people's heads. Because, remember when you sniped them, a fountain of blood would come out?
Yep,
like, this is pretty fucked up to talk
about. Really fucked up.
But you could go to a strip club.
Mm-hmm.
You could, I mean, you could there, just
you
go.
Could, you could solicit prostitutes, right?
Yeah, you could go to basically just a random person on the street and punch them in the face, and then they would fight you most of the time. You could get your star level would go up, and I remember being a young kid who didn't give as much of a shit about the plot line. I would just see how high I could get my star level up,
because
depending on how wanted you were, that meant how wanted you were by the authority. So one star is like, I don't know, you got a cop on your tail, you were speeding, or you bumped into somebody. And then it would just go like two. Did it go to five or four? I can't remember.
Five.
Yeah, so five stars, they're calling like the National Guard. You got tanks coming at you, like the army. It's like insane.
Yep.
And the coolest thing was like to get a tank, and then you could drive in the tank. I mean, this was just insane. Unheard of for this time.
Amazing.
And anyway, there was actually a really good storyline, because I remember like, when I first played the game, I was super young, and then like a year or two later when I understood things a little better, I replayed it and actually played the storyline, and the storyline is great. Like I said, it's kind of like this mobster storyline, and I think you eventually end up getting, like, spoiler alert, you end up getting a mansion you can live in at the end, which is awesome. And looking at the map, I was remembering that there's this golf course that you can drive by, and you can get a golf cart and drive it to golf cart around. So just a lot of like cool things. And one of the greatest things about this game is the soundtrack. And this soundtrack was big influence on me, and still is. And I looked back at it and I was like, this is the greatest soundtrack of all time.
No, it's seriously. Like,
it's so good.
Like the rock station. Like, you look at, I think, copyright issues and various sort of financial and contractual stuff just makes it so, you know, some of the new Grand Theft Auto games, their soundtracks are pretty good, but they're not great. They're not like Vice City great.
Yeah, right. I think the other thing is that Vice City falls into this era where I really love the music of that time. My parents are children of the 80s. My dad graduated like 89 or something like that. My mom graduated in 1991. So like 80s culture has always been a big part of my life, and I love 80s culture. Like, if I didn't grow up now, I wish I would have grown up in the 80s to see Metallica like go from like nothing to something. And yeah, just the things people wore, and like a little bit simpler times with, you know, technology and things like that. But anyway, so the best radio station is V-Rock, and I'm just going to list a couple songs. You got Judas Priest, you got Another Thing Coming, Motley Crue, Too Young to Fall in Love, Megadeth, Peace Sells. You have Turn Up the Radio, Turn Up the Radio, which is great because you're like listening to this and like running over grandma's Turn Up the Radio. It's got I Wanna Rock by Twisted Sister, Bark at the Moon, Madhouse by Anthrax, 2 Minutes to Midnight, Raining Blood was on this.
Like,
soundtrack.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. Like, really. Like, I remember the songs I remember liking at that age were 2 Minutes to Midnight. I remember liking that song. And I really remember liking Peace Sells, which is probably the first time I ever heard a Megadeth song. Probably.
Yeah, probably.
And I also remember Turn Up the Radio, because that's just a great... And You've Got Another Thing Coming. Those are just like great songs with great choruses. So this is probably one of my first introductions to like rock and roll. Because I'm only like, I don't know, 10 to 12 years old, and even metal at that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, okay, that's one, you think, you're like, Ty, I don't like that music. Well, okay, go to Wave 103, the next radio station. And here you got Flock of Seagulls, I Ran So Far Away, Kids in America, you know, we're the kids in America.
Whoa.
And, yeah, exactly, Sunglasses at Night by Corey Hart.
There you go.
99 Luftballons. So that's kind of like your new wave, obviously. It's called The Wave. It's like your new wave from like, I don't know if that means they're coming from like Europe. Like they're this new wave. I don't know what new wave actually means, but those are the songs. You got Emotion 98.3. This had fucking Toto's Africa on it.
Get out of here.
So it's more like love songs because you got I Just Died in Your Arms. You get that. Waiting for a Girl Like You by Foreigner. Broken Wings by Mr. Mister. Take these broken wings. Keep on Loving You by REO Speedwagon. Sister Christian by Night Ranger. Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, there's so many great songs on here.
It is actually incredible. Like, I'm watching, I'm going through this list as well, like, as you're reading it here. And, man, it's so good.
Okay, so let's say you're not in the mood for any of those things. Well, don't worry. There's another playlist called Flash. You got Hall & Oates, Out of Touch, Billie Jean by Michael Jackson, Your Love by The Outfield, Run to You by Bryan Adams. That's about some of the only ones I noticed there. But then there's a Wild Style Pirate Radio, which is more like you get some like hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
So Grandmaster Flash, Herbie Hancock, Run DMC's on there. You know, more of a hip hop playlist. And then there's Fever 105. There's so many. Fever 105, which has some Michael Jackson. You get Billie Jean. It seems to be more of a mix.
Yeah.
So you get some of the songs that were already on the other playlist. Anyway, and then there's, last but not least, there's Radio Espantoso, which is like a Spanish radio, Cuban radio, because there's Cuban gang in that
right,
game.
Right, because like, yeah, Miami with all Cuban influences and stuff.
Yes, exactly. This reminds me, just talking about Florida, reminds me of Danielle. And I had this conversation with Danielle a couple days ago about Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And she uses, she told me that like she's been listening to these According to a Non-Metalhead so much that she's getting metal ads on Spotify. And I was like, you get ads on Spotify? Because I've...
She doesn't pay for it.
I was like, why are you not paying for Spotify? And she's like, well, I use Apple Music. I was like, what is this, the Stone Age? like maybe they've caught up now. I'm sure they've caught up now.
Yeah. I think that's like, but yeah, they're like Spotify offering, I guess. I have not used it.
No, I haven't either. I just can't fathom using anything other than Spotify. So she was telling me like the reason that she likes Apple Music over Spotify is that she can say, hey, Siri, play this. And Siri will play directly from Apple Music.
Okay.
Whereas you can't do... First off, I don't like Siri. I think she's worthless. The voice-to-talk thing just still hasn't... It's still not good enough yet for me to use it. Not convenient enough. Mm. I don't use Siri ever. So anyway, I was testing mine out because I have an iPhone 2, and I was like, hey, Siri, play blah. And she won't do it. She'll try to search Apple Music. Mm. But then I said, hey, Siri, play Spotify. And she'll play like what I was currently playing.
Okay.
So there's a bit of a workaround. But anyway, I just... Siri should be able to play something from Spotify. Come on, Siri.
Get your shit together.
That's an Apple thing. They're like, no, you can't play anything from Spotify, Siri.
You better buy Apple Music.
Like, you would think you could set, like, Spotify as, like, your primary music thing. And, like, she would be able to go in there. Anyway, this is all besides the point. I think it's just weird that Danielle doesn't have Apple or doesn't have Spotify that she pays for. So I'm just putting her on blast. Anyway, what else do I have to say about? That's about all I have to say about Vice City. It's just great. And the story is great, like all Grand Theft Auto games. And you guys are probably surprised that I didn't pick San Andreas. I really enjoyed San Andreas 2, a bigger map, awesome story. Some more RPG elements where you could like get fat, you could work out and get strong. I just didn't like it. Vice City's more memorable for me, and I think that's purely because Vice City is like the 80s, and I love the 80s. I love the music of the 80s and the feel of the 80s, and it's in like this sunny Florida, which is something like that was, you know, we're Northerners, and it's just a different landscape for us to see sunny Florida, whereas San Andreas is the 90s, and it's more of like a desert setting.
Right. It's so, like 90s Compton, and then like outskirts of LA.
Yeah, and I mean, is there a little Vegas in there or not really? I can't remember.
I don't know. I can't. I don't recall.
Anyway, San Andreas is also a great game. Just for me personally, Vice City is the more memorable one. Anyway, that's all I got in Vice City.
Nice.
Do you have anything you want to add about Vice City?
No, I mean, I just wanted to talk about the soundtrack, and we got it. I mean, just 10 out of 10.
It's, yeah, fabulous. Fabulous soundtrack.
So, my third game, and probably my favorite PlayStation 2 game of all time, definitely my favorite PlayStation 2 game of all time, is Star Wars Battlefront 2. Now, I'm a big shooter fan. Like, I like to play, probably my favorite game right now, probably for the past 4 or 5 years, has been Counter-Strike Global Offensive. Big Counter-Strike guy, love shooting games, and Battlefront 2 does not disappoint. Obviously, I love Star Wars, so it's the mix of two of my favorite things. And it was developed by Pandemic Studios, released by LucasArts on November 1st, 2005. And fun thing about this game is that I actually didn't own it. My brother bought it. My little brother, who was at the time 8 years old, he bought it with his money. I don't know how an 8 year old has money to buy this game. but basically it's a primarily like a third person shooter, set in various Star Wars planets and themed levels. And it's got content from both, the first and second trilogies. I want to say that, the Return of the Sith, is that the third movie in the second trilogy? The one
it's
after Attack
Revenge
of the Clones?
Of the Sith.
Revenge
it's
of the
Revenge
Sith.
Of the, yeah, yeah. Revenge close
of the,
enough.
Oh, Return of the Jedi is what I was thinking. Revenge of the Sith. Yeah. So, this must have been like right when Revenge of the Sith was coming out, I think. And so it's got content from both the first and second trilogies. So you've got like, you can play as various types of like clone troopers from the Galactic Republic. You can play as various droids from the CIS, or on the first trilogy side, you can play as like rebels, the Rebel Alliance, or stormtroopers from the Galactic Empire. And on these like really memorable levels, like you can go on Hoth, and you know the Galactic Empire would have access to all of these big AT-AT, you know, like the big walkers on Hoth. And in like the where the Ewoks live, can't think of the name of it, but you know the you know the scout troopers that had like the snowmobile looking skimmer things that would go around really fast. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you could like ride
it's
on.
It's Endor, by the way. They live on Endor.
Endor, thank you.
Yep.
So you could like play on Endor, and just like tons of memorable levels from all of these great, you know, scenes in all of the six Star Wars movies at the time, and you could even play as heroes. Like if you played well enough, you could unlock access to a Jedi or a Sith or some of the other special characters like Han or Leia or Boba Fett. If you played well enough for enough time, you know, you gain access. Mm-hmm. And man, I just remember there was a special game mode. I think we played this together a lot. There was a special game mode called Hero Assault. And it was played played on Tatooine. So
yeah,
like, it's just, you know, you as a Jedi or a Sith or one of these heroes playing against all of like, just basically it's heroes versus heroes on Tatooine. While like the cantina song, you know, is going the whole time. So just so many good memories and like really late nights playing Star Wars Battlefront 2. Like
and
all
Darth
of the,
Maul owned Darth Maul
oh,
was
dude,
so good
dude Darth Maul
Darth, he was so good
like excuse, I mean he had two fucking lightsabers he was
I mean as it turns out having two lightsabers is pretty legit
And Yoda was really good because of his, like, he would do, like, basically tornado attacks because he was so little. Mm-hmm. He's just jumping around all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Darth Maul fucked shit up. Mm-hmm. No doubt about that.
Yep. It was just cool to play as those guys, too. It's just awesome to play as, like, these iconic characters.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. I remember...
And just murk all the like, infantry.
Right, because they were just, like, one hit. Like,
exactly. You know, it's fucking awesome.
You got a lightsaber, so you're just going to, like, oh, yeah, like, goodbye, rebel troop. Like, you're toast, because I'm fucking Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there was so much style in the characters. Like, each one of the heroes had their own, like... You know, walk. So if you played like as,
yep.
And their own like style of attacking with the lightsaber. So for example,
mm-hmm.
You came in as Darth Vader, right? Darth Vader is badass. He's like, you know, he's Darth Vader. And you would just like walk around and you would walk really slowly because he's huge and he's like kind of like mostly robot. And his lightsaber attacks were just like these huge arcing just... Like across,
they were. I remember that they were great.
The body, mm-hmm. really slow, but man, it was just so satisfying to play as these lightsaber wielding heroes, mm-hmm. just shred through tons of enemies.
Yep. Yeah, and I remember that game was great because it would give you like the kill count of like how many of the other side you killed, and you had to like basically, didn't you kind of have to do like a capture or territory situation? Yeah. Where you like would own certain territories.
There's
different modes though.
Yeah, like the primary mode I think was called Conquest. And basically spread throughout the map were like five or six basically flags, and you stood next to a flag for long enough, you would take control of that territory, and then your teammates could spawn there. So you would like take a point, go to the next one, and you'd kind of push the enemy back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, until basically... I can't remember if you had to get to a certain score, if you had to like kill so many of their team. Well, that would be how you get the score, but it was a lot of fun. And the other cool thing was that Galactic Conquest, where you basically move from area to area, and you kind of went against the computer in that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would basically pick a side, let's say you want to play as the clones. So you pick the Galactic Republic, and you would see like the solar system and all of the planets spread throughout, and you'd be like, okay, we're gonna go attack the droids at this location, and you would win that level, basically that matchup on that map, and you would take that point and you would just kind of spread out, and they would take kind of tactical locations and stuff, and mm-hmm. it was like this game within a game.
Yeah. And the other thing that was cool, like, if you play this game, you would understand why when I played the new Battlefronts, I was initially disappointed.
Yeah.
Because this game was so great, the hero element, and I remember this new Battlefront. I mean, I don't know anything about, because haven't they released a sequel now?
Yeah, Battlefront 2 came out, you know, sometime last year, I think.
Yeah, like, Galactic Conquest, I know they initially didn't have, and that was one of my favorite things, because you didn't have to have, I don't know, it was just cool to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, wasn't this two-player?
Yeah. There was local co-op.
I think that's why this was also so fun for us.
Yeah, we just chill out in front of the couch or in front of the TV on the couch and just, like, play Star Wars. It was amazing.
Yeah, this was a great game. I have great memories of this. And I also remember we used to go to Nick, not going to say his last name, but he had the original Battlefront. And I remember playing it with him. And this one time, it was still good, not as good as Battlefront 2. I can't comment on it too much because I didn't research Battlefront, the original one. But I remember, like, his mom owned the grocery store, the local grocery store in town.
Yep.
So he had the keys. I thought this was just so cool. He had the keys to the local grocery store. So we would go in before we gamed for the night or whatever we did, and he would just say, take whatever you want, and be like, this is fucking awesome. I will take whatever I want in this grocery store.
Everything the light touches is ours.
Yeah, exactly.
Lion King quote is.
Another quick story while I'm talking about Nick is that he was the first one to show me the Holy Grail movie.
Mm, and yeah, same.
That was a pivotal moment for me and and like where my comedy influence comes from. Mm. So... I know you're not listening, Nick, but thank you. This is a great game. Great memories. Anything else you got on this game?
I think they shut down the online servers. Okay, this is how like popular this game is. It was released in 2005. It was released on the PlayStation and, you know, probably Xbox, but definitely also PC. And they shut down the servers, the online servers, in 2014.
That's insane.
Then they reopened them, like, the following year. Like, you can go online and, like, you can play Star Wars Battlefront 2 against other people. Like, online, right now, today.
Crazy.
So it's got some serious staying power. It's probably, like, the best Star Wars game ever.
Probably. I mean, I think some would argue Knights of the Old Republic, but
yeah, yeah.
But it's I think it's the best. I mean, it's the easiest one to plug in and play, and with friends or against random people,
without a doubt.
So, yeah, great game.
Oh, you know what? You know what? Yeah, sure. I have one more thing to add. A mutual friend, Gus, would play the shit out of this game on PC, and he was actually a high-ranking member of, like, an online clan.
Oh, like, I forgot about that.
Back when, like, you know, like, you would have, like, clan websites and clan wars, and like, I think the clan name was Rangers. So he was, like, this high-ranking member of this online Star Wars Battlefront 2 clan called the Rangers, and I remember they would do clan wars against the SEALs. They were big rivals with, with the SEALs. So it was the SEALs versus the Rangers, like... Yeah. So much enjoyment from Star Wars Battlefront 2.
We should almost just do a podcast about Gus, and all we do is talk about Gus. Because I could talk about Gus for hours.
Dude,
I love Gus. Yeah, like, Gus also worked at one time for this grocery store that I went into and got to pick whatever I wanted. So we used to call him Grocery Gus, I'm sure. Well, he liked it a little because he had his gamer tag was Grocery Gus.
Yeah, his Xbox Online gamer tag was Grocery Gus.
So he couldn't have hated it that much. But yeah, I mean, that's how all three of us, like, I was friends with Michael before Gus. Gus came into the fold more for me anyway when I was like in seventh or eighth grade. But we all became close because we're nerds. And it was over video games. Because I remember we would just talk for hours about RuneScape, which, again, we can talk about when we do a RuneScape podcast. Mm-hmm. But we just talk about RuneScape for hours. Like, hey, we're going to go into the Wildy. We're going to own the wilderness. It's like, no, we're not.
Let's go mine some coal up by the lesser demons up in the wilderness.
Well, yeah, remember? Like, yeah, that's right. Like, I remember that. We would, like, bring a bunch of shit and fight those stupid-ass lesser demons so we could, like, mine this rare coal or whatever. But anyway, this game is excellent game, and definitely one of my favorites too. So my last game that I'll talk about is such an important game for me, probably one of my favorite games of all time, and that's Guitar Hero 2. Nice. And I played Guitar Hero 2 more on Xbox 360, but I'm still gonna talk about it here. So
that's fair.
I played it too on I gotta say, I did play it also on PlayStation 2. I owned it on both consoles. And it was released in 2006. So, yeah, I was 15 years old. And this was definitely at the end of the PS2's life cycle. Red Octane is who did this game. And, I mean, this was... most of you know what Guitar Hero is. You got the plastic guitar. And you have the five buttons. And they're all a different color. And you're just strumming and tying to the music. And you have easy up to expert. And it was always, you know, you're really cool if you could play on expert. And I got really good at this fucking game. At this game where, like, I was also learning to play the real guitar while I was playing this stupid game. But, like, the songs on this were so good.
So good.
And another reason why, like, that helped shape my taste in music. Like, my favorite songs to play, for one, Hangar 18. I remember we both have a mutual friend, Chris, that we've talked about before. He could turn around and play Hangar 18 without looking. The intro
on, to Hangar 18, on expert.
It was so cool at the time because he'd be like, hey, watch this. He'd turn around the other way and but the cool thing was, like, he did it flawlessly.
Yeah. Like, amazing.
And he would, like, turn around to get into like, because it's like the like that part. So it's like pretty impressive. And he would turn around just in time to get into where it got a little more challenging. This had that song, of course, another Megadeth song. It had Laid to Rest by Lamb of God, but it wasn't Lamb of God performing it. Do you remember that?
It was like a cover, and just
yeah,
the vocals were just dog were so shit. Just absolute dog shit.
Like, but still a great song to play.
Yeah, for sure.
This game was different than Guitar Hero, the original Guitar Hero, because it had more hammer-ons and pull-offs, and they were easier to do.
Yep, they're more forgiving, for sure.
Yeah, much more forgiving. You didn't have to be as precise. Had Freya by The Sword. You had Sweet Child of Mine, Guns N' Roses, Who Was in My Room Last Night by the Butthole Surfers, Let's Talk More Rock by Freezy Pop. I don't know if you remember that song.
Oh, that was like a weird kind of, it had that like was like techno vibe. It was instrumental, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was like a synth guitar kind of thing. Push Push Lady Lightning by Ben Camaro.
I forgot about that song.
Yeah. Thunder Horse by Death Clock, of course. The Light That Blinds by Shadows Fall. Quick story about The Light That Blinds. Chris and I, Guitar Hero is how we became friends. And the beginnings of our friendship was we had this thing, and I think it was around Christmas, before we went on Christmas break, where remember when we would rotate to a room and each room had something different to do?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
And one of the rooms was Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
And some other things. And I remember Chris and I could play on Expert. We're one of the few people. It's just funny to think that this was cool back then. One of the few people who could play Expert on Guitar Hero. And we both, it was like a battle of like classes, because I'm a year older than Chris. So we both played The Light That Blinds. And I beat him. And it was like a big deal, because he's super, he is still super good. He is better than I am. He always was better than me. But I beat him in this big showdown with everybody watching.
Dang, the nerves super, got to him.
And he was super shocked by this. And that's how we basically formed a friendship, because he realized that I could like hang with him on Guitar Hero. So I'll talk more about that in a second. But then you had Six by All That Remains. Rest in peace, Ollie. And then just some like really interesting. Oh, Freebird.
Freebird. Got that Freebird?
My Southern accent came out when by Leonard Skinner. And Jordan by Buckethead, which was so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris could play that. I never could beat that game or that song. He could, obviously.
He would like 100% it.
I could
remember him like 100%ing some songs.
Yeah, he was ridiculous. He was so good. He still is probably good at it. Some other songs that like I just want you guys to maybe listen to is Arterial Black by Drist. That was like a bonus song on there that was super good. And Raw Dog by The Last Vegas. This is where Chris and I got the phrase Raw Dog Some Randoms, which like I know that's always been a phrase, but like we said that a lot, and it was because of this song where when you raw dog somebody, you're not using a condom. Let's put it that way. So Raw Dog Some Randoms. There's a ton of other good songs. I'm not even like scratching the surface. So let me just pull up the list. I'll read you guys just some really big ones. Killer Queen by Queen, Ace of Spades, Bark at the Moon by Ozzy Osbourne. Frankenstein by the Edgar Winter Group. You remember that song?
Yeah.
Smoke on the Water, of course. You Got Another Thing Coming. Am I looking at downloadable? Sorry, guys. I'm looking at downloadable content. I was like, weird. Okay. Anyway, songs that I did not mention that were actually not downloadable. They came with the title. Is Bad Reputation by Thin Lizzy. Beast and the Harlot by Avenged Sevenfold. Can't You Hear Me Knockin'? Carry On My Wayward Son. Cherry Pie. Crazy on You by Heart. I think I already mentioned Freebird. You had Killing in the Name by Rage Against the Machine, Jessica by the Allman Brothers Band, and Heart-Shaped Box by Nirvana. I mean, the list goes on and on. Monkey Wrench by Foo Fighters.
Is this the best track listing of a Guitar Hero?
Absolutely.
It's this like, or three?
Hands down.
Okay.
Like, this one's better than three, I think. Because the other thing that set this one apart is that the bonus songs are so good. Like, all the bonus songs are great. Whereas three, like, the bonus songs were like, meh.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
But this Guitar Hero 2 is like the best Guitar Hero. Always will be. you know, I'll die on that hill. And I think it's hard to argue that the others, it's hard to argue for the other ones. They're good. Mm-hmm. They're just not Guitar Hero 2 good. There was this one that was like, that Mike and I bought, that another friend of ours, Mike, and I bought, and it was Ultimate Rock, or it was something like that, but it was a very, it was a heavier playlist. It was like hard rock and heavy metal. That one's really good, but I didn't grow up with it, you know, like,
sure,
it doesn't have any nostalgia. If anything, it just reminds me of college, because that's how cool we were. We would sing,
get drunk and play Rock Band.
Yeah, we get drunk and play Rock Band and trade out. We would rotate, like every couple songs, we'd rotate who was singing, who was playing guitar, and who was like drumming or whatever, or the other guitar. So anyway, Guitar Hero, big part of my life. And I do have to tell this quick story. So like I said, this formed Chris and I's friendship, and he would come over all the time and we play Guitar Hero. And that just turned into a lot of other things because Chris is like an awesome human being. Like, he's one of those people that just attracts other people. Like, don't you feel like that? Like, anybody Chris.
Yeah.
Like, you can't not like Chris. It's impossible. Plus, he has, like, these beautiful blue eyes. So, and long hair. If I was gay, I'm just saying. Anyway. So he would come over and play Guitar Hero. And we also had, like, basketball in common, so we'd shoot hoops and stuff. And then Halo became a big part of our life. So, like, you know, me, Michael, and Chris would play a lot of Halo together, too. Like, I'm talking, like, hours on end.
Yeah.
And Chris was also really good at Halo. So, he's just good at whatever he did. God damn it, Chris. Just so an
good.
Awesome human.
He's good at everything.
Such an awesome human. Yeah, he's such an awesome human. Even good at being a dad. He's got kids now. So, and a hot wife. Frickin' Chris. Anyway. Anyhow. Where was I?
talking about Guitar Hero.
Yeah, and apparently we need a Chris and a Gus podcast.
I think so.
I would love to have Chris or Gus on the podcast.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
So what I was trying to get to is Chris and I were also playing baseball at the same time. And I remember one summer, all we wanted to do was play Guitar Hero. We were sick of playing baseball. And baseball season is so long. It goes for like most of the summer. And we were both outfielders. I played either left field or center field. And he played right field most of the time, now that I think about it. Something like that. We were next to each other in the outfield, put it that way. And I remember this one game. We were just so sick of baseball. All we wanted to do was like baseball to be over so we didn't have practice or games so we could play Guitar Hero for hours. And I remember just going to this game, we were just hoping that we lost. And it's such a bad story, but like, so what happened was...
throw the game?
No, we didn't go that far. But like, what happened was the game is tied, okay? And I don't know if we're in extra innings. I don't know if we're in the ninth inning. We were probably in the ninth inning, but I remember the game is tied. And we're in position, and they have runners on base. So Chris and I are in the outfield. And I vividly remember this guy jacked one, like, over our heads. Like, you know, he didn't hit a home run, but he hit it to the fence, basically. And we went for it. We ran for it. I think Chris or I got to it first. I really don't remember who got to the ball first. And we threw it in, but as we threw it in, it was too late. They'd already scored the runner. You know, the game was over. And I remember Chris taking off his glove and, like, giving me, like, the rock fist, like, fuck yeah, we lost.
Time for Guitar Hero, bro.
Yeah, like, we were so excited. Like, everybody else was like, I just remember everybody else was super bummed out, and we were just, like, faking it, like, oh, yeah, so bummed out. And maybe Chris remembers that story different, but we definitely didn't blow the game. I think we were just really excited that he hit it over our head because, because like, we could do nothing about it. He just jacked it over our head.
I mean, the game was over.
We threw it in. The game was over, and I just remember, like, containing our excitement because even before the game, we were like, oh, I really hope we lose. Like, I really don't want to play baseball anymore. I just want to play Guitar Hero. So
throwing up the rock fist. Fuck yeah,
I know.
Bro.
I just remember the look on his face. Like, he, like, put his glove out to, like, hide his hand, you know, because he didn't want to see anybody else. But he was like, he made, like, this celebratory gesture where he, like, I don't know, he like pumped his fist and like made a rock fist, something like that. But I just remember him hiding his, using his glove to hide it. And then like we were both like laughing and kind of smiling, which was like not the response you're supposed to have when you lose in a playoff game. Sorry, Coach Hack. But hey, we tried. We just didn't really want to win. If we won, we would have kept playing, you know.
Yeah.
This is, you know, you don't need to take us out of the Baseball Hall of Fame or anything, or not that we're in it. Anyhow, that's it.
Amazing.
That's my story of Guitar Hero too, and just Guitar Hero in general. That will always, I mean, the PS2 in general and the Xbox 360 are like the consoles of my childhood. So.
Oh, without a doubt.
Will always hold a special place. Now, let's get to those honorable mentions, because I know you got a nice list, and I think we can just talk about them briefly. Say what you're, you know, say a quick thing or two about them. So, what do you got?
Yeah, so one of my, two of them on my list would have been Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, and Guitar Hero. Two games really important to my childhood and growing up playing the PlayStation 2. And one of them was Dark Cloud. It was this kind of this weird dungeon crawler RPG sort of thing where you would like gain access to basically pieces to build a city or a small community. And then you'd go level by level, gain the pieces, and then actually like go into a kind of a Sim City sort of game. So it was like kind of like, yeah, it was like two games building at the same time. One was like a hack and slash dungeon crawler. The other was like Sim City. So that was really unique. And another one was Dragon Ball Z Budokai.
Now, oh, I remember that. Yeah.
I am not a, I don't play fighting games, but I am a huge fan of Dragon Ball Z. And I just remember all of the different characters in this game. And I think there was a lot of like unlockables and just like there was a lot, the playing the game was like really fun to repeat it and continue to like do these tournament formats. And I think we would set up like tournaments. We would get like, you know, eight people together and we would play these tournaments, like these basically these 2v2 bracket style tournaments that the game I think actually had baked in. And just like competing and stuff was a lot of fun. All of the different Dragon Ball Z characters. And then the last one is EJ Club World.
That's a great one.
Now let me tell you about EJ Club World.
And that would be on like nobody else's list.
No, God no. I don't know why I owned this game. I think my
why did you own this game?
I think my grandma bought it for me for like Christmas. Because she probably saw it in like the $5 bin at Walmart or something.
That's true. That's true.
This would be good for Sonny Boy.
Yeah.
So EJ Club World was a music making game. And it was all like techno and house music and trance and stuff.
yeah.
And there was like these pre-built sections of like various, you know, hooks and melodies and drum beats and sort of that sort of thing. And you would have like, you know, like 12 individual tracks, and you would drag drop from your library of samples into your song. And you would build out these songs and I remember we would spend just tons and tons of time making songs in EJ Club World.
Oh yeah.
And then I had this shitty little MP3 player with a microphone on it, and we would play the song and put it in record mode right in front of the TV, and that's how we would like, we basically were making mixtapes.
Oh, so I mean, like that was, we spent a lot of time playing this fucking game.
Like it's so good. And when I was doing research for this, I pulled up some YouTube videos of EJ Club World because they're on YouTube. You can listen to people's EJ Club World songs, and man, it took me back.
Yeah, so like, listen I remember to some, like
shitty European like Europop techno type stuff. It's so good.
Yeah, because depending where you went, the sounds were different, like the setup.
Like the same, like you would go to like a trance room, and you would get like trance samples and stuff.
Yeah, we played the shit out of this game.
Yeah.
Like, obviously there's other people who played the shit out of this game because it's on YouTube, but we were one of the few that actually played this game and played a lot of it.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, what we considered, like, our masterpieces back then were probably absolute shit.
I wish I had them. I honestly, like, I definitely don't. I have no way to access them.
I do remember, I remember there was, like, ones we were really proud of. Like, we're like, this is fucking great.
We probably had like 20 songs.
Oh, yeah. And we would just listen to our own shitty recording of ours. Like, it was pretty funny. But, like, yeah, there were games like that back then, too, like, where you could make... EJ Club World is the main one I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there were other games like that where you could take samples.
Yeah.
Yeah, good times.
Not really a game, but definitely, like, something that got a lot of play time on the PlayStation. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, influenced a lot of, you know... musical type things for me, right? I mean, it's not metal. Well,
certainly,
but it's
certainly
music.
For you. Yeah, certainly for you, for like, you know, the mixing and things that you do, engineering of audio.
Yeah.
And for me, I think it was more of like, well, for you too, but I'm just saying, for me, I think the main takeaway was like creating something collaboratively with somebody, but also like using your creativity to make something, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like,
that you could call your own. Yeah. Another thing I need to mention though about like gaming in our youth was that like primarily the people we gamed with was me, you, Chris, and Gus. Like that was, we did a lot of gaming together.
Yep.
And, just got to give a shout out, 'cause that was a great time. Great time to be alive.
Totally.
Sometimes I wish that's all I had to worry about was like, oh man, I played Sandtrap, Halo 3 Sandtrap for like 12 hours.
Oh God, it's 8 a.m. I haven't gone to bed yet.
It's
my biggest concern.
Let's go to the gas station and get breakfast because we've stayed up fucking all night. Anyway, as far as honorable mentions for me, certainly EJ Club World should be on there. I don't know if I put it, but it should have been on there. I remember really liking the movie kind of like tie-ins, The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, and The Return of the King.
Mm-hmm.
Those were like really fun, especially The Return of the King, because you could co-op that and just hack and slash with like Gimli, Legolas, and Aragorn, and you could get like these different combos basically.
Yeah, because you would get like a score, and then you would use that to like level up your Aragorn
character. Yeah, and you could like level up like his sword or buy new combos. Great games. I just included them both together. I think Return of the King was better because it had the co-op. I don't know if the Two Towers had co-op.
It definitely didn't.
Yeah, the Return of the King did, and that's why it was superior. And you just hack and slash. It was a lot of fun. I mean, you could do combos too, but primarily just hack and slash your way through. And you got to fight in like all the famous, you know, scenes from the movie, which was really cool. James Bond, Agent Under Fire, and Nightfire.
Classics.
I played them a lot. I don't remember much about them, but I just want to give them a shout out. Tiger Woods Golf, we already mentioned it. I didn't play it as much, but it also had, I'm not even naming a year. It's just like, in general, Tiger Woods Golf back then was really good. And Tiger was like on top of the world back then too. I know he just won the Masters again recently, which is bananas. But
oh yeah.
But anyway, you know, these games were really fun. And my dad would play this. Your dad would play this. I would play this. I mean, you played it too, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, it was a cool like bonding experience with my dad, for sure. Because he was playing video games.
And it was a fun game.
Because it was almost fun. Like an RPG. Because you would like make your golfer, and then you would go do tournaments, and you would get like points and money to like spend in your stats and new clubs and stuff. Like, it was good.
And you can make your own golfer, of course.
Yep.
Yeah. And there was two Tiger Woods you could play as. One didn't have as good of stats as the other one. I remember that for some reason. It was very bizarre. It was like an unlockable Tiger.
Because
you could unlock golfers in this
God too. God tier Tiger.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Like, it was probably Tiger wearing his like red polo, Nike polo, and black hat. I think that was like, you know, his iconic look.
Yeah.
Like that, that was like the downloadable version. But you were given like right away like a stock Tiger. I could be making this up, but I swear to God that was a thing. At least from what I remember. I'm not even going to bother to look it up, but I think that was a thing. But you could also make your own golfer, and I do actually remember liking the soundtrack. Don't remember much about it, but do remember thinking, this is a pretty cool soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool because, you know, it created that function that when you are on your backswing, you tap, you know, you tap that other, whatever button it was you tapped to like... to hit with more power.
Oh yeah, you'd like tap it and you'd like gain power, but it like might mess up your accuracy and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then you could control the spin of the ball too. Get backspin or front spin or wonky spin on the ball. Fun game. WWF SmackDown 2, Know Your Role. I just don't remember. Can't give you specific details, but remember playing these wrestling type games often and having a lot of fun with them. You can make your own wrestler. At a certain point, they allowed you to finally go behind the stage or backstage or whatever, mm-hmm. which was cool. Mm-hmm. And there are little storylines in there. And obviously, that was just a great era of wrestling when you had like Stone Cold and you had The Rock, and then you had like WCW. Attitude. Yeah, the Attitude era. And then you had like the WCW infiltrating the WWF, and then they became eventually what they are today. It was just a great time to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had like Goldberg fighting WWF wrestlers. It was awesome. Or even maybe the NWO got involved too, because I can't remember. It was Booker T, WCW, or NWO.
I think NWO was like a sub-thing.
Or was that that was part of the WCW.
There's also like, there's, right? TNA. Yeah. WCW, like a group of wrestlers were called NWO.
Yeah, because you had Big Nasty, Kevin Nash.
Yep.
But anyway, that was a cool era because, like I said, the WCW probably as a move because they were being bought out by the WWF or going out of business. Like they did this big promo thing where it was like WCW versus WWF and the winner got to keep their name or something like that. So it was great writing for that time. Great material. Yeah. The stakes couldn't have been higher for wrestling.
I mean, really, the contracts had been signed. They all knew what was going on, but
they all knew it was happening.
Who knows?
But I mean, you know, Booker T still fights for the WWE. Well, I don't know if he still does, but he did fight for the WWE, and so did a lot of those other WCW guys after it, you know, fell apart. Anyhow, The Sims 2 is another special one that I'll just talk briefly about. We played a lot of this. A lot of this. And you know, if you know The Sims, it's you're creating your sim, which is, short for simulation. So it's kind of like a simulation of yourself or whatever person you were making. It didn't have to be a version of you. But typically, I think we kind of made ourselves.
Yeah.
Or like goofy versions of ourselves, or maybe better looking versions of ourselves.
more successful, smarter, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And couple things about Sims 2 is, of course, like you get a job, and if you get promoted or whatever, you can like buy better things and make your own house. And like, could you play this 2-player?
This was the only, I'm almost positive you definitely could. And I think it's the only one consoles that you can. There was split screen.
Because I think you and I played this like all the time, split screen. Like just dinking around, like I would be me. Obviously, you would be you. This version that we created of ourselves. But one of the craziest shit that we ever did, and I won't use names, but we made these two girls that were in our class that we probably had crushes on at the time, and we made their boyfriends that they had at the time, and we.
This you could is do super this. Fucked up.
I mean, this is super fucked up. But we're like what, 11 or 12 years old?
Yeah, right.
So we're just monsters. We're little monsters, and we would basically make their characters versions of themselves. We make them like kind of look like them, but like probably like worse versions of themselves. And we're like these perfect versions. But we would make like a high dive that went to nothing. So they would jump off their sim would jump off a high dive and hurt themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then the worst thing we ever did, and this was bad. But remember guys, we're 11 or 12. Don't judge us now. We never do this now in real life. We would put like, how was it again that you could start the fire?
You would put,
let's start with that.
Okay. So, you get a fireplace, right? And you would put a rug like way too close to you'd put it like underneath the fireplace.
Yes. That's what it was. Yeah.
And then you would put like all sorts of stuff all, you know, like very flammable, like maybe furniture and other like rugs and shit all over the rest of the house. Actually, so, all over the rest of this very small doorless room.
Yeah, so we made a small doorless room we made this scenario that Michael just described, and we put these two people that we hated as 11 or 12 year olds in the room, and we burned them alive. We burned their Sims
straight up
alive.
Straight up.
I think we only did it once or twice, because for one, when you're young and curious like that, and you have this game that's simulating life, like in The Sims, I was curious to see what would happen if a character actually did die.
Right.
And it's interesting. Don't they get like little tombstones and maybe a ghost or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think both of those things happen. Because like the Grim Reaper shows up.
Yeah. So, you know, let me just tell you guys that these guys did bully the shit out of us for a while.
That's true.
So it's not like they were nice guys. Did their sims deserve to die for their sins? I don't know. but yeah, their sims aren't alive. I mean, anyway, so we killed their sims, and then we made like the girls we had crushes on, and they became our girlfriends, and we probably eventually married them in the simulation world.
Very, very healthy.
Yeah, totally healthy.
Healthy behavior.
Totally healthy thing to do for two nerds who like had no confidence talking to women at that time and were being bullied. Totally healthy. It's like a super passive aggressive way of like, well, you know, I killed your sim, so you know. It's like a voodoo doll or something.
Oh shit.
But it's one of those things that you just never forget that we did that.
Definitely not.
It's one of those fucked up stories. Like we had a lot of a lot more fun on The Sims than just that. It was a great game.
Yeah.
Like there was just a lot going for it. Couldn't you go kind of first person in that one? Or was that a different Sims?
No, I think the key with that one, with the Sims 2, was that you could just use the joystick to move your character around. Whereas all of the other ones was like you had a cursor.
You point and click.
And you hit a button to be like, move here. And then you move the cursor, and then you click move here, and then your Sim would just kind of follow that path. Whereas this one is like you just moved a joystick and you walked around.
And am I wrong to think that there were certain, like, you could move to different parts of the city or something?
Maybe that was
a story mode.
I don't remember which Sims game allowed you to move. I know The Sims 3 definitely had it. It's not unreasonable to think The Sims 2 would.
Regardless, we had a lot of fun playing The Sims 2. I would say probably The Sims 2, Battlefront 2, and Guitar Hero 2. And EJ Club World, probably our most played games together during that time.
Yeah. I would say
this was and like the other games were single player, but we probably talked about them, I would guess.
Mm-hmm.
This is a long time ago, guys. It was like 15, 16 years ago, which is crazy to think about. So anyway, I think we've talked all we. Oh, yeah. I wanted to tell you guys before we end the top selling PS2 video games. Any idea what you think number one is?
Oh.
I'm just going to say it. Think Rockstar. Just guess one. I'm going to help you out.
Well, I mean, Vice City.
Close. San Andreas.
Really?
17.33 million only on the PS2. On the PS2 alone.
Jesus. Okay.
That's not even other consoles. I'll just read the rest. Then you had Gran Turismo. These games really sold well, I guess. Gran Turismo 3 A-Spec, 14.89 million.
Wow.
The next game, Gran Turismo 4, 11.76 million. The next game, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, 9.61 million.
Nice.
And the fifth in like this top five is Final Fantasy X is 8 million. Never got into Gran Turismo's.
No, I'm not much of a racing guy.
Also never got into Final Fantasy games, but...
Mm-mm. Not my
style.
The
Gran Turismo games, I was looking at those numbers, and they do really well. They sell really well overseas, too.
Okay.
I think that's part of the allure.
That makes
sense. They get so much.
So I think racing is pretty big in, like, Europe and stuff.
Yeah, so I think that's part of, you know, it's kind of like why soccer games sell so well.
Right.
Well, FIFA is what I'm talking about. But anyway, guys... hope you enjoyed this trip down memory lane, and hope we took you maybe down your own trip. And I'd advise you to go make your own lists. And it was fun to do. It was fun to think about all this.
Yeah, definitely. Sure
brings back memories. And it brought back memories just while we were talking about this live. And I think we talked about this way longer than we thought we were going to talk about it.
Without a doubt.
So anyway, we definitely are going to do this again. I'm sure we'll talk about Xbox 360. I'm sure we'll talk about... I think we'll probably end up talking about all our eras of gaming together because it's just fun to talk about and there's a lot of memories tied to it because it was a huge part of our life and still is a big part of our life. We're both still actively gaming all the time. And so I would anticipate more of this. I really think I'm going to wrap my head around how to get Gus or Chris on the podcast. I would love that more than anything in the world, actually, to have one of those two or both of those two on the podcast would be a lot of fun. I don't know what we would talk about. I think that's what I got to figure out. But I'm sure we could have an episode on Guitar Hero and just go off or have an episode on Halo and just go off. Or RuneScape. I mean, there's plenty of things that topics that these guys would be comfortable talking about. So anyway, remember that we're found on all places where you stream a podcast, iTunes, Spotify. Please rate and review, subscribe, give us 5 horns high there. Share it with your friend. Go to our website, supermetalworld.com, and check out all our other content there. Send us an email. Send us your tracks. If you're a band, send us your individual tracks or your whole album, whatever the hell. We'll give a listen to it when we have time and potentially feature you and get you at least a little bit of exposure. Any exposure helps, I think. And we'll tell you what we think about your music as well. Let's see. We're on social media too. Super Metal World is where you would find us. Thank you so much for listening. And go bust out your old PS2, I guess, if you have it.
Or find an emulator.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what I may have to do over this weekend. Horns high.
Horns high.